Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to be at the youth conference? Hallelujah. Looking forward to what the Lord will do. Certainly a privilege for me to be here, to be a part of this meeting. And greater honor still to be able to minister to you great people. God bless your hearts. I appreciate everyone that's had any part, anything to do with this meeting. The time, energy, effort that's gone into this. God bless you. Thank the Lord. I want to get into the lesson this morning. You've probably noticed on your flyer the first lesson will deal with the Trinity. And I want to get into this. Of course, you know that we will not deal with a small portion in the amount of time that we have, but I want to do my best to at least lay a foundation. Before I do begin, though, I do want to take a few moments. When I began my study here, I looked into several resources. I don't want to seem disingenuous. The majority of my thoughts this morning are not original thoughts. I've drawn from several different resources. My thoughts have been prompted by theologians who have given far more time to exploring and explaining the triune nature of God than I have. But there was one that stood out in my mind. It stood out above all the other resources. Coincidentally, it comes from one of our own. And is a book called Absolutely Trinity. And then the subtitle is A Refutation of the Jesus Only Movement. It's written by Brother David Lamb. And it's published by Independent Holiness Publishers. And I highly recommend this book. It would be a great help. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, I think that every Pentecostal holiness preacher should have this book in their library. My brother-in-law asked, can I borrow this book? And I said, you sure? I want you to. I want you to read it. And he said, did you enjoy reading it? I said, no, I didn't enjoy it, but I'm glad I did read it. It's very thorough. You'd never dream that it was written by a 32-year-old man. Pick this book up. Brother Lamb may be here this morning. If he's not, he talked like he may come. A stack of books with him because I was going to throw a line out for him. And so you want that book. I promise you do. You won't just read it and set it aside. You'll use it, pastors and ministers of gospel. You'll use it as a resource. It is a source book for defending and defining the triune nature of God. I think that you should look into this. I also want to say this morning that I believe that this meeting has an appropriate beginning. This doctrine of the Trinity is probably the most foundational of all our beliefs. The only thing that I could think that might be a little more foundational is our belief that the Word of God is inspired by God, that it is, in fact, the Word of God. And, of course, we derive our doctrine of the Trinity from the Word of God. And so for it to be the Word of God would certainly lay the initial foundation. But at the foundation of all of our beliefs is this doctrine of the Trinity. How many believe that? Thank God. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, most, if not all other false religions or cults err in this area of doctrine. The Jehovah's Witness, Jesus Onlys, Mormons, Muslims, if not all other false religions, to some degree err on the doctrine of the Trinity. And of course, the most crucial error comes in the deity of the Son. And I think that we'll hear a little more about that tomorrow. I want to read you a passage of Scripture that deals with that, especially concerning the deity of the Son. Chapter number 3 and verse number 10, the Apostle Paul writes, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Can anybody say amen? If you build on any other foundation, it doesn't make a difference how elaborate and how well thought out that your doctrine may be. If it is not built on the idea that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then it does not have the appropriate foundation. I'm telling you, the winds of false doctrine are blowing in the day and age that we live in, and I believe that many a house will fall in these last days because they were not built on the rock. The Apostle Paul said that rock is Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God Almighty. Psalm 11:3, the psalmist says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Oh, I want to rebuild and repair the foundation this morning if I could. We will lay the true foundation this morning by stating that you and I believe in the Trinity. Hallelujah. How many Trinitarians do I have in the house this morning? Thank God Almighty. It is fundamental and foundational to all Christian doctrine and to all Christianity, this doctrine of the Trinity. If it is not built on the foundation of the doctrine of the Trinity, then it is not Christian. Hallelujah. Thank God. The question that came to my mind when I was asked to preach at this convention is, how do you describe God? How do you describe God? The triune nature of God is indescribable. You cannot describe God. As a matter of fact, the only one that is qualified to describe God is God Himself, because God is eternal. Hallelujah. But God does not attempt to justify or explain His person to men. He doesn't feel like that He needs to reconcile our finite mind with His infinite nature. He doesn't feel like He needs to justify Himself. As a matter of fact, when God shows up, He doesn't come and say, first, before I begin to work, I need you to understand that I'm like an egg. Or I need you to understand that I'm like a tripartite man. Or I need you to understand that I'm like the elements. Or I need you to understand that I'm like this or I'm like that. When God shows up in the beginning, God Almighty speaks, the earth is formed, and that's the end of discussion. No further explanation needed. I just want to show up. I'm going to start working. And when I work, you're going to find out that I'm God and you cannot describe me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God Almighty. Hallelujah. He doesn't say to Moses, you go tell Pharaoh that I'm a greater Pharaoh than him. Or you go tell Moses that I'm like a swarm of locusts. Or go tell him that I'm like flies or frogs. You just go tell Moses that I am. No further explanation needed. And Pharaoh found out soon enough that God was everything that the people of God needed for salvation, for deliverance, hallelujah, for crossing the Red Sea. He is God and He is indescribable. Would anybody say amen right there? Oh, bless God Almighty. Hallelujah. I am. He doesn't explain or justify Himself. He simply reveals Himself by His Word, through His work. That primary work, of course, is the redemption of fallen man to God's ultimate glory. And it is through this revelation that we draw our doctrine of the Trinity. God shows up. He begins to move. And as He works, He reveals Himself in His Word. And we derive the doctrine of the Trinity not from trying to describe God, but by His Word, He shows us who He is. Hallelujah. It's through this revelation, we do not, as other false religions and cults, rely on another's person or revelation of God and then use the Bible to try to make that individual's revelation fit, hallelujah, into that ideal. We take the Word of God for what it says and what it reveals to us. Hallelujah. And the Word of God reveals plainly to us that the one true God is three distinct persons. And I know that persons is not the appropriate word, but it's the best word that we can use to describe the distinction between in the Godhead. Maybe self-aware agents would be a better way. I don't know exactly how. So I will refer to the distinction in the Godhead as persons or self-aware agents for the remainder of this. If that'll be all right with you. If it isn't, then I'm still going to do it. Hallelujah. Namely, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. While the triune nature of God is indescribable by man, it is undeniable in the Word of God. Many have erred because they say God is indescribable, and so we're going to make up a way to describe Him. He's like this or He's like that. Hallelujah. And they err. I want you to know that error is not justified simply because God is indescribable. Because the triune nature of God, though indescribable, is undeniable in the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. It's my text this morning. I want to introduce to you a passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture is not new to you, but you may not have ever heard it called by the name or title given. And the title of the text that I'll use this morning is the Johannine Comma. And that's 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 7. That is the Johannine Comma. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now this passage has fallen under some controversy, and it's no wonder. As you can see, this passage of Scripture is absolutely destructive to a non-Trinitarian point of view. It is interesting to note here, and I'll say this and move on, that most Jesus-only or oneness Pentecostals, and I don't know how you can call yourself Pentecostal if you don't believe in the person of the Holy Ghost, but oneness Pentecostals, as they are called, seriously object to the validity of this passage in the canon of Scripture. I wonder why. Critics claim the Catholic Church added 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 to Scripture in the 15th or 16th century. The truth is that the Johannine Comma indisputably appears in a Latin treatise called Liber Apologeticus in the 4th century. Some KJV defenders say the Johannine Comma appears in manuscripts out of Antioch, which is the true line of biblical revelation, as early as 160 AD or the 2nd century, and that is only 70 years after John's writings. The fact is this morning that the Johannine Comma is valid. The Johannine Comma is absolute truth. And there are three that bear record in heaven. And these three are one. Hallelujah. Of course, the three that bear record in heaven is a direct quote or indirect relation to the authenticity of Jesus Christ's Messiahship. Hallelujah. That the law of testimony comes into play there. And Jesus says, "I testify myself." But not that Jesus Christ's testimony is not true, but to follow the law of testimony, He says in John chapter number 8, hallelujah, that my Father also bears witness of me. That makes two. And so out of the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. Thank God Almighty. Now, the common belief is that these three that bear record in heaven simply manifested or revealed themselves to us. And it would kind of go like this concerning the authenticity of Jesus Christ's Messiahship. Jesus Christ would have said in a court of law, "I want you to understand that I am the Messiah, but it's not just me. Hallelujah. I also have brought other witnesses." Okay, let's hear these other witnesses. "I am the Messiah." Next witness, please. "I am the Messiah." You think I'd hold up in the court of law? Huh? I don't think so. Wouldn't hold up. The fact is, there are three that bear record in heaven. And these three absolutely testify to the authenticity of the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I must hurry here. Hallelujah. Thank God. To further prove this by the Word of God, is the point of this lesson this morning. I will show you by the Scripture that the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is a person. Each, you understand, each member of the Godhead first is a person. And I'll show you that. I know there are a lot of different ways, but I'll show they're a person by the fact that they have mind, will, and emotion. Second, or self-aware agent. Second, that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is God. And there are four qualities that make up that. That is, they are eternal, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. I'll show you that by Scripture. And I also will show you that they are distinct from one another by Scripture. Hallelujah. Thank God Almighty. God the Father first. We call Him Father in the redemptive Trinity. Jesus Christ reveals the Father as the Father positionally. Hallelujah. Not personally. Jesus Christ is not the Father. He reveals the Father to us. He reveals the Father as Father. If the Father, if a man has a son, then he is a father. He comes saying, I am the Son of God. And if God has a son, then he is a father. And then this was quite a revelation, because this is the God of Pharaoh. This is the God of Egypt. This is the God of parting the Red Sea, the God of Sinai. This is the God of judgment and the God of wrath. And now Jesus Christ is saying that the God of wrath and the God of justice and the God of Sinai and the God of all of these other things, these great and marvelous things, He is also a Father. And if He is a Father, then He is like not like us, but in the regard that we understand fatherhood. Amen. He is benevolent. He is kind. He is compassionate. He is loving. He is caring. Thank God that Jesus Christ reveals the Father as Father. Jesus came in Luke chapter number 11. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? For he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Well, there's the triune nature of God right there. Jesus Christ says your Father is benevolent. And if you ask Him, He will give you the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. God the Father. God the Father is a person or a self-aware agent. The Scripture shows that He has a mind. Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah. We would certainly say that for someone to have the capacity to reason, they must have a mind. Second, the Father has a will. Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 4. Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He has emotions. Psalm 86:15. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, plenteous in mercy, it goes on to say. Psalm 5 and 5, there's mercy and compassion. Psalm 5 and 5, the foolish shall not stand in Thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Psalm 6 and 1, to the chief musician on Neganoth upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in Thine anger. 1 John 4 and 8 says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So He has a mind, will, and emotion. The Father has a mind, will, and emotion. Second, the Father is God. God, the Father, is eternal. Psalm 106:48. Blessed be the Lord God. I know I'm moving quickly. You have to forgive me. I'm up against the clock here. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. How many believes that means eternal? God is omniscient. Psalm 147:5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Omnipotent. God the Father is omnipotent. Psalm 62:11. God hath spoken once. Twice I have heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. God the Father is omnipresent. Jeremiah 23:24. Can any hide himself in secret places, but I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? And last, God the Father is distinct from Son and Spirit. Isaiah 48:16, perhaps the greatest proof text of the triune nature of God. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. He is distinct from the Son and the Spirit, God the Father. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Oh, hallelujah. Second, God the Son. We call him Son in the redemptive Trinity. God the Son is begotten of the Father. God the Son is not made or created. He is begotten of the Father. There is an eternal difference. I said an eternal difference between made and begotten. John 3:16 said God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son. Begat means of the same kind. Exactly the same. He is not lesser. He is not lower. He is not subordinate. Jesus Christ is co-equal with God the Father. Oh, thank God Almighty. Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. Hallelujah. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It shows His preexistence. Philippians 2:6-11. Which is referred to as the hymn of Christ or the Carmen Christi, shows His co-equality with God. Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. I don't have time to read it. But both passages, John 1:1, Philippians 2:6, the Carmen Christi, show irrefutably, that is, if you believe the Word of God, hallelujah to God, that Jesus Christ is God. He is a person. Hallelujah. He has a mind. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He has a will. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has emotions. Matthew 15:32. Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. John 11:5, the Word of God says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then Mark 3:5, when He looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, He said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Jesus Christ had compassion. He loved. He was angry. He had emotions. Thank God. Jesus Christ is God. Oh, Hebrews 1:8.
says, but unto the Son he saith, it is talking about the Father. Follow me up on this. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 8. This is the Father speaking. And listen to what the Father says. Listen to how the Godhead declares the Godhead. Oh, thank God Almighty. Hallelujah. He said in Hebrews 1 and 8, the Father, thy throne, O God. What is the Father doing calling Jesus God if he is not God? Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, not I was, I am. Oh, hallelujah. That means that he dwelt in the ever-present before Abraham was. He was not before Abraham. He is before Abraham. I know this is teaching, but you just get excited about these things. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is omniscient. John 2:24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. John 2:25, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. John 16:30, now we are sure that thou knowest all things. I need to move on. Jesus, God the Son, Jesus Christ is omnipotent. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus spake and unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What other power is there? Jesus Christ is omnipotent. Thank God. And I'll read Matthew 28:20. I've got others, but I need to hurry. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is distinct from the Father and the Spirit. John 17:1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. You understand that I just pulled the one that spoke to me the most. There are numerous passages of Scripture that show the distinction between the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is it expedient for you that I go away? This is speaking of his distinction from the Spirit. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Hallelujah. Most every other false religion or cult, if they err in the Trinity, errs in the doctrine of the deity of the Son. Hallelujah. He is a stumbling block to many, church. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you where we're weak. And this is the doctrine of the Spirit. I need you to understand this morning that the Holy Ghost is God. Hallelujah. He is God. God, the Holy Ghost. He is a person. He has a mind. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. How do you speak distinctively unless you have a mind? The Holy Ghost has a will. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Holy Ghost has emotions. Grieve not the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 63:10 says they vexed His Holy Spirit, that is the emotion. He is God, God the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter number 5 and verse 3, you remember Ananias and Sapphira brought their gift and said they had given all. And Peter said, you didn't, and they dropped dead. And then Sapphira came and said, we've given all. And then he said, how have you lied unto God? And then he says, you've lied unto the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He is speaking of the same person in this passage of Scripture, the apostle. Apostle Peter calls the Holy Ghost God. Hallelujah. Thank God He is eternal, the Holy Ghost. Pre-exists the incarnation. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. Before the incarnation, before Jesus Christ came in the flesh, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is. Oh, as also seen, He baptized John the Baptist in the mother's womb before Jesus was actually born. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Omniscient, 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Ghost knows the things of God. If God is omniscient and the Holy Ghost knows the things of God, then the Holy Ghost is omniscient. The Holy Ghost has all power. Thank God. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Can I get five more minutes? Hallelujah. Is distinct. The Holy Ghost is distinct from the Father and Son. Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then once again, Isaiah 48:16, come ye near unto Me, hear ye this, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, or I've not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me, distinct from the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. We believe in one true God, eternally existing in three distinct persons or self-aware agents. Hallelujah. The Father is not the Son and the Spirit. Amen. The Son is not the Father and the Spirit. And the Spirit is not the Father and the Son. Oh, hallelujah. Now this has given us a foundation of Scriptures to prove a distinction of persons or self-aware agents in the Godhead. Give me a few more moments to stop here, however, runs the risk of sending us crashing off the other side of the road into the ditch of tritheism. And this is an entire subject on its own that I don't have time to explore. Hallelujah. But 1 John 5:7 says there are three that bear record in heaven, but it also says these three are one. Hallelujah. We believe in the triune nature of God. We don't simply believe in the tri nature of God. Hallelujah. We believe in the triune nature of God. Oh, hallelujah. You may say, how can this be? As I said earlier, our God is indescribable, but His triune nature is undeniable in Scripture. Can a dog describe the intricate makeup of man? No, of course not. Man can't even explain the details of his tripartite being, that is, body, soul, and spirit. If we can't describe the tripartite being of man, how can we explain the triune nature of God? We must take God at His word and say He is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. These three are one. We believe, as the Word of God teaches, in one true God, eternally existing in three distinct persons or self-aware agents. We believe these three are one in unity, substance, essence, purpose, kingdom, and will. To say I believe in the Trinity is not to say that we believe in three gods. If we say we believe in three gods, this smacks of polytheism or the worship of more than one God. We do not believe in three gods. We believe in one God. The Trinity consists of three, no more, no less, and these three share the same These three share the same identical divine substance. They indwell one another and they occupy the same space at the same time. Oh, the greatness of our God. Say, let illustrate the Trinity. I could give these three fellows here and say, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But that would not appropriately illustrate the Trinity because these three, hallelujah, are in separate, distinct places. But now if we were to take Brother Brim and put him in Brother Webb, and take Brother Webb and put him here, and then take this, 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 and then this, 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 hallelujah, then we might be getting a little closer and them still maintain their individuality and their distinction. Do you understand that? Of course you don't. But the Word of God tells us, and it is absolutely the truth, there are three that bear record in heaven. These three are one. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't serve a God that I could describe. My God is not an egg friend. My God is not a man friend. He is God. He is the thrice holy God. Holy to the Father. Holy to the Son. Holy to the Holy Ghost. Praise God, the three in one. Would we lift our hands and worship the triune God in this sanctified arena this morning? Thank God Almighty. Let's lift a praise to the triune God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God Almighty.